How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news for the headlines. President Prabowo forms task force to accelerate downstreaming and energy security. Indonesia is set to launch first offshore carbon trade on January 20, 2025. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the first news where Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has officially formed a task force for the acceleration of downstreaming and national energy security, led by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia, and compromising a number of ministers and head of institutions. Presidential Decree No. 1 of 2025, which was accessed from the official website of the State Secretariat in Jakarta on Friday, explained the acceleration of downstreaming target sectors such as minerals and coal, oil and gas, agriculture, forestry, and marine and fisheries. Downstreaming in these sectors aims to increase the added value of domestically produced commodities. To accelerate the realization of national energy security, the scope of work of the task force includes the production of oil and gas, coal, electricity, development of new and renewable energy, and infrastructure development to support downstreaming activities and national energy security. Indonesian Ministry of Environment Environmental Control Agency ensures that Indonesia is ready to launch the first overseas carbon trade plan for January 20, 2025. According to a statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday, the first overseas carbon trade will be carried out through the Indonesia Carbon Exchange IDX Carbon and involves several strategic energy projects as part of efforts to achieve Indonesia's climate targets. This was previously confirmed by the Ministers of Environment, Hanif Faisal Nur Afiq, who said the launch was done by ensuring the optimization of the National Registry System, or SRN, as well as preparing infrastructure and other instruments. He ensured the carbon trade was carried out to achieve Indonesia's climate targets contained in the National Determined Contribution NDC document. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, SOEs, Erick Thohir said that 1 million houses to be built by Qatar are for low-income people. Reported by Antara News Agency, Erick in Jakarta on Thursday explained that the construction of 1 million houses is part of 3 million houses program launched by President Prabowo Subianto. To realize the plan, Erick said the Ministry of SOEs utilizes land located in the railway area. The housing development in the area is planned to have a trans-oriented development, or TOD, concept, which is integrated with the station. The signing of the agreement was carried out by Minister of Housing and Settlement Areas Marwar Arsirait and Qatari investors Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Thani at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, last Wednesday, witnessed by President Prabowo. Qatar becomes the first foreign investor to contribute to the program. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital, Mutia Hafid, hopes that the investment value in Indonesia from the United States technology giant Apple will be greater than its rival Microsoft. This was conveyed by Mutia on Thursday, reported by RRI.co.id. Mutia says Apple's low investment in Indonesia is due to human quality factors in the field of information technology. However, the Minister of Communication and Technology asserted it cannot be a reason not to invest in Indonesia. According to her, Apple can also build factories while preparing competent human resources. Previously, Apple has committed to investing in building an AirTag accessories factory in Indonesia. The investment value is said to reach $1 billion. Meanwhile, Microsoft's investment in Indonesia is recorded at US$1.7 billion. The investment is used to build new infrastructure in Indonesia related to cloud computing and artificial intelligence over the next 4 years. Indonesia and the United States agreed to expand the Fulbright Scholarships Program to individuals and institutions assisted by the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs. Reported by RRI.co.id, Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Nasaruddin Umar and the U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Kamala Shirin Lakhdir signed a memorandum of understanding related to the program on Thursday. This agreement opens up opportunities for students or academics of educational institutions assisted by the Ministry of Religious Affairs to get study or research scholarship in the United States. On the other hand, U.S. academics and students have the opportunity to teach and conduct research in educational institution assisted by the Ministry of Religious Affairs. Madrasah Islamic School or Pesantren Islamic Boarding School can also invite Fulbright English teaching assistants to teach English at their institution. Ambassador Kamala hopes for the best result for the Fulbright program for institutions and academics of the Ministry of Religious Affairs. Fulbright is an academic exchange program from the United States government that runs in more than 160 countries. Batam State Polytechnic or Poly Batam in the Riau Island is the location for capacity building of aircraft technicians from Vietnamese airline Vietjet Air, which will last until March 2025, reported by Antara News Agency accountable manager of Poly Batam Aero Training Center, Priyono Eko Santoyo in Batam on Thursday said, at least 16 experienced technicians from the airline underwent training to obtain a basic aircraft maintenance license. He also said that in the near future, Poly Batam Aero will also be verified by the aviation authority of the Vietnamese Ministry of Transportation so that the certificates issued are recognized by the country. Meanwhile, the head of Poly Batam's D3 Aircraft Maintenance Engineering Study Program, Lalu Giat Juang Saputra, said that his party presented a Boeing 737-400 aircraft to support the training activities. Indonesian Embassy in Tunisia introduced Indonesian coffee products while participating in a coffee exhibition held earlier this year at Lekram, Tunis. Reported by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Ambassador to Tunisia Zuhairi Misrawi attended the opening of the coffee exhibition. Zuhairi said Indonesia produces around 750,000 tons of coffee per year and exports half of it to various countries in the world, including Tunisia. According to him, Indonesia's participation in the previous exhibitions paid off because after that, Indonesia began exporting more coffee to Tunisia. Zuhairi added Indonesia began to be widely known in Tunisia, including through coffee diplomacy. For example, Luwak Coffee has received a lot of attention from Tunisians because of its uniqueness and specialty. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today. Transmigration is a program to move people from densely populated to less densely populated areas. In Indonesia, transmigration is one of the government population's programs, which has been implemented since 1950s. This program was initiated as a solution to overcome the problem of population density in several places, such as areas of the island of Java. The main goal is to equalize the population and improve community welfare. Until now, transmigration is still part of the Indonesian government's policy. However, the form of policies regarding transmigration has undergone many changes. Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono during a press conference at his office on Wednesday emphasized that the transmigration program in the era of President Prabowo Subianto's administration carries a new paradigm. It aims not only to move people, but also emphasize the development of economic growth in the transmigration destination areas. These areas must be developed into new, independent and sustainable economic centers so that they can provide a bright future for the transmigrants. The Ministry of Transmigration noted that by the end of 2024, there were a total of 419 transmigration areas spread throughout Indonesia. 153 of them need special government attention, Of that number, 45 areas are declared a priority in the 2024-2029 National Medium-Term Development Plan. The development of transmigration area is certainly not easy. It requires synergistic cooperation from various parties. Deputy Minister of Transmigration, Pipayoga Mauladi in Jakarta Thursday stated that the ministries under the auspice of the Coordinating Ministry of Infrastructure and Regional Development are synergizing to keep developing transmigration areas into new centers of economic growth. Certainly, the government cannot work alone in this matter. There needs to be collaboration with the private sector, especially in developing superior products in transmigration areas. The focus is not only on the agricultural sector, but also other business sectors such as the livestock sector, tourism and plantation. Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, the voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with January 10, 1946, when the first UN General Assembly is held. The United Nations General Assembly is a forum whose representative of all UN members meet in one place every year. The General Assembly is one of the six main bodies of the UN. The first UN General Assembly was held on January 10, 1946 at the Methodist Central Hall, London, England, attended by representatives from 51 countries. Since 1951, the UN General Assembly has always been held at the UN headquarters in New York, United States, and is now attended by more than 190 countries. Let's move on to January 10, 1996, where Indonesian students' demonstrations demanding Trituras occurred. Thousands of students who were members of the Indonesian Students' Action Union, or KAMI, held a large-scale demonstration on January 10, 1966 in Jakarta, Indonesia. The action was famous for their demands, called the Three Demands of the People, or Tritura. Tritura contained demands to dissolve the Indonesian Communist Party, reshuffle President Sukarno's Trikora cabinet, and lower prices. The demands were read out at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia. Quoting se.kemdikbud.go.id, the demonstration movement lasted for 5 days. This action ended with the transition of the old order, government led by President Sukarno, to the new order led by President Suharto. Now, January 10 is commemorated as Tritura Day. I'll end today in history with the January 10, 2004, when the bombing in Palopo, Central Sulawesi occurred. A bomb exploded on January 10, 2004 at the cafe in Bukit Sampodo, Palopo, South Sulawesi, Indonesia. The bomb exploded at around 10:30 local time. The explosion, which was heard within a radius of 2 kilometers, killed 4 people and injured 3 others. 4 people were arrested for being the perpetrators of the bombing and sentenced to 20 years in prison. One of the perpetrators, Yasmin bin Kasau, admitted that he did it intentionally as a form of fighting against the evil in nightclubs, even though he had to kill unarmed persons. Thank you.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, today's editions of My Indonesia highlights the Indonesian government optimizes its Java's fishery to support food self-sufficiency. The Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries KKP is intensifying efforts to boost fishery production in East Java, aiming to achieve food self-sufficiency by 2027. A key strategy involves expanding aquaculture activities, as highlighted by Minister Sakti Wahyu Trenggono during a food coordination meeting in Surabaya, East Java, as reported by Antara on Wednesday, 8th of January. Minister Trenggono noted East Java's vast potential in both capture fisheries and aquaculture sectors. According to KKP data, East Java's total fishery production in 2023 reached 1.2 million tons, generating a production value of 27.46 trillion Indonesian rupiah. Furthermore, export in 2024 are projected to hit $1.5 million, accounting for 27.99% of the region's total export value. To realize a protein-rich fish-based food self-sufficiency in East Java, Minister Trenggono emphasized enhancing aquaculture production, which has been a significant economic driver. Between 2020 and 2023, aquaculture production outpaced capture fisheries, with aquaculture yielding 598,000 tons annually compared to 536,000 tons from capture fisheries. In addition to optimizing existing aquaculture potential, the ministry plans to revitalize 27,110 hectares of underutilized fish ponds to support the cultivations of saline tilapia. This revitalization is part of a broader program targeting 78,000 hectares of eel ponds along the northern coast or Pantura, spanning from Banten to Banyuwangi in East Java. At least 8 districts and cities in East Java will host these revitalized aquaculture zones. Minister Trenggono urged local government and authorities to collaborate with national agencies to bring this ambitious plan to fruition. The revitalization of 78,000 hectares of idle ponds in Pantura is set to transform them into productive sites for saline tilapia farming, with implementation scheduled to commence in 2025. That concludes today's My Indonesia.
Andai aku pasha ungu, semua wanita akan memburuku. Bila aku Ariel Peter Pan, kau yakin ngefans karena buah keren.
Semua itu hanya mimpi.
Ya iyalah, masa ya iya dong. Turun aja di bawah, bukan di bedong.
Ku bukan superstar, kaya dan terkenal. Ku bukan saudagar yang punya banyak kapal. Ku bukan bangsawan, ku bukan priayi. Ku hanyalah orang yang ingin dicintai.
Kamu bukan super, kamu bukan star. Kalau digabungin, kamu bukan superstar.
Bukan priayi, ku hanyalah orang yang ingin dicintai.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder introduces you to dodol or jenang, traditional Indonesian sweet made from glutinous rice flour, coconut milk, and palm sugar. This classic dessert has been around since the days of the ancient Mataram Kingdom. You can find jenang across Indonesia, each region adding its own special touch. Like in Banyumas Central Java, they have jenang jaket, a version known for its chewy texture and unique flavor. The name jaket stands for jenang asli ketan, which means authentic glutinous rice jenang. Jenang jaket is made with high-quality glutinous rice that's carefully cooked to create its soft and chewy texture. Coconut milk is added to make it rich and creamy, while palm sugar gives it its signature brown color and sweet taste. Baking jenang jaket is no quick task. It takes patience and attention to detail. Listener, if you're visiting Banyumas, you can easily find this sweet treat in local markets or souvenir shops. There are two types of jenang jaket to choose from, namely the plain version and one with sesame seeds. The price isn't much different. A pack of plain jenang jaket costs around 16,000 rupiah, while the sesame is about 17,000 rupiah, or about $1. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Dan jantungku berdegup kencang, kau buatku terbang melayang. Tiada ku sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama. Mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Korepi love, korepi love, korepi, korepi, korepi love, korepi love, korepi love, cause it be something that I never had. Korepi love. Terlepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Korepi love, korepi love, korepi, korepi, korepi love, korepi.
Wewe. You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miss Melanie. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Sumba Island, known for its stunning natural beauty and authentic traditional culture, once again receives international attention. This breathtaking island in East Nusa Tenggara province, Indonesia, has been named one of the 8 best destinations in Asia for 2025 by a leading travel magazine. The selection highlights destinations that focus on sustainability and avoid negative impact of over-tourism. These 8 locations include remote or overlooked places with incredible charm and also offer alternatives to destinations that are overwhelmed by mass tourism. Magazine put Sumba, an unspoiled island in Indonesia, just a 50-minute flight from Bali, at the top list of recommended destinations for 2025. Forbes also recently listed Sumba as a must-visit destination for next year. Sumba offers unparalleled natural beauty, from pristine white sand beaches like Mihiwatu Beach to spectacular waterfalls like Waikelo Sawah, and vast green hills like Wairinding Hill. Every corner of Sumba feels like paradise for nature lovers, yet behind its beauty, Sumba has managed to stay untouched from tourist crowds. Listener, one of Sumba's main attractions is its rich and well-preserved local culture. Traditional ceremonies like pasola, a horseback spear-fighting ritual to honor ancestors, draw visitors who seek a unique experience. Sumba, with intricate patterns full of meaning, are a source of pride for the local community. For travelers, Sumba offers untouched natural beauty, authentic culture, and a serene escape hard to find elsewhere. For the world, Sumba stands as a beacon of hope, proving that tourism can thrive without sacrificing the very essence that makes a destination extraordinary. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to the Music Corner this Friday, where we bring you a collection of regional pop songs from across the Nusantara. Today we have a special treat from South Kalimantan, a beautiful pop song titled Marista, also known as Asa Malibuk Hati. This song is composed with traditional Banjar rhymes, capturing the sadness of a heartbroken woman. The song tells the story of her pain and heartbreak after being left by her lover, her sadness growing as she watches him taken away by someone else. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Marista, performed by Putri Shahila. Happy listening.
Indonesia. kian lama ku memendam rasa ini terlalu dalam. Berat hatiku menahan deraku sejenak. Sedikit waktu berarti, beri aku kesempatan bicara tentang isi hati.
Bila kau terima, aku akan mencoba menyedari suku bahkan pengkatan. Aku benar, ingatkan muda. Bila kau terima, aku akan mencoba menyedari suku bahkan pengkatan.
Sampai yang tertekan, yang tertekan. Ku akan mencoba yang aku bisa. Dengar aku sejenak, sedikit waktu berarti. Beri aku kesempatan bicara tentang isi hati.
Forever. leave my bed and I try to dress, wondering why my mind plays tricks and fools me into thinking you are there.
Merangkai kata-kata untuk sampaikan apa yang ku rasa. Selama ini terhalang,
tirai yang tak kasat mata, hati yang telah terbiasa.
Padahal ada sesuatu di antara kita, semakin sulit untuk diabaikan. Jarak rindu tak ada,
ku akan melewatinya. Tunggulah aku di sana.
Maaf kita aku perlahan terpaling, mencari hal yang aku tak tahu pasti. Lupa rasa saat dulu jatuh hati. Lagu ini ku bawa kembali.
Genggam tanganku, kita menari
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com. or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW 3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia to the world.